Welcome to Hills I Die On.
Thanksgiving stinks.
Being old is awesome.
I believe twins should be separated at birth.
The Bachelor is the perfect way to find love.
Adults who like Disneyland are deeply unwell.
Welcome to another episode of Hills I Die On. Today is a magnificent day for the pod because today is our first episode to include an international call-in. What? That's right. We are really stepping things up for season two with today's guest who is zooming in from the exotic land of Canada. Is that how we pronounce it? Good. This guest is as real as it gets. He is a writer slash comedian currently for NBC hit Darling American Auto, and previously for shows such as Life in Pieces and, of course, Single Parents with yours truly. He's also just an incredibly funny human and a dear friend of mine, and I'm so excited to introduce you right this minute. Please welcome to the podcast, Kyle Mack.
Thank you for having me, Taylor. I'm so excited to be here. Very nice intro. We planned it extensively, and I made you add so much more than you had, which was none of the nice guy stuff or funny guy stuff.
Gun to my head. He flew in
absolutely.
To make sure that I was doing this accurately. I'm so glad. There was a moment where you froze for a second and I was like, Kyle, was that okay? Or did you want me? Did I not do it nice enough? I miss you. I'm so happy to be seeing you.
It's so nice to talk to you. I mean, this is an awesome opportunity. It's been a long time since I've talked to you virtually even. So I'm ready to jump in and fight you. Like on this.
Good. I'm glad that time and distance has not limited your capacity to take me on. I will say this is one of my favorite. I'm most fascinated about this hill. It's one of my favorites that I've heard thus far because I don't quite understand it yet, but I have a feeling that I will. Would you mind telling us what your hill is?
So my hill is, and I'm surprised that you're confused by this. It, to me, it's the most obvious thing in the world. But my hill is that we should make Santa real. As I was thinking about this, not only should we make him real, but I want to convince you of the fact that we haven't done it yet is insane and morally wrong. And we should do it immediately. And people should get on it. As they listen to this podcast, start writing the petitions and start getting it going.
Okay, so this will, if you do your job correctly, this will end with a change.com login.
That's exactly it, yeah. And hopefully, yeah, lots of government money being diverted to this specific cause.
That's what I was hoping.
Cause.
Okay, great. Because yeah. I think that's what I need to get on board with. I love this. I obviously want to say, yes, let's do this immediately, but I need to understand how we would approach this.
Well, let's start with why. I mean, we're going to have to sell it, right? So why
we
should we do
it.
That?
Yes.
Why should
a
we
why,
do it?
I think we should break this into a why and a how.
A why
first,
and a how.
I want to know, yes, before that, a little background on your relationship with Santa would help. I feel like, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, you may have believed in Santa till you were like 13.
Not that long, but I was certainly one of the kids in school.
And I should say this is the same. So I
okay,
to
good.
Believe.
I would be happy to, yeah, definitely pushing close to double digits for sure. And also really kind of like angry that anyone would question it. Like just
sure.
being very upset. I remember specifically being in first or second grade and someone coming up to me and saying, you know, Santa is not real, and being so incensed. And my argument was, if Santa wasn't real, why wouldn't your parents just buy you gifts all year? It doesn't make sense. This is the only way our gifts. And, you know, really like laboring over it and being so angry. And I think that's actually, that speaks to the main point of why we should do this.
Okay.
Amazing. Here's why. I want to hear your story of how this went down. But there's a moment in every child's life where they find out that Santa is not real, at least the way that they conceive it. And I believe that it is like a trauma. And it is like one of the earliest traumas that we experience, if we're fortunate, and that it's that moment where we discover that magic isn't real, or that your parents have lied to you on like a massive scale.
Sure.
And there's like this incredible kind of like destabilization. And I thought, okay, why don't we exist in a world where let's go back to little Kyle in first grade.
I would love
and
to.
Little bully comes up to him and says, "Hey, Kyle, don't you know that Santa isn't real? And I would love to be able to say, listen, Todd, not only is Santa real, he lives in the North Pole and he is elected by our nation's children on 5-year terms. And you can go and check the government funding. He is on television. We can go on a live feed and see Santa tinkering around up in the North Pole right at this very moment. And know that a gift that we get every year is from this pseudo magical being and experience. And
I think that still pseudo magical. Okay. So,
well, here's the thing. I think that, yes, one of the things is to give a sense of wonder, kind of like the way that the royal family kind of like inspires like a feeling of like good tidings for some British people.
Sure.
I think that like Santa would allow children to be like, look at what they've done for us. You know, like at first it's Santa is definitely real. Then it's look at what has, well, look at what we come together to do and accomplish.
And okay, so in your mind, it's we continue to tell the story about Santa.
Absolutely.
In all of his magic, right?
That's
and
right.
And then basically the consolation prize is then, well, we weren't really lying. There's still a guy that's
yep.
mortal, that's elected every 5 years to
that's
represent
right.
Santa, who does die, doesn't have flying reindeer, but does send like COVID checks to the house.
Hold on. Now we'll get into this, all of the execution
okay,
of it.
Okay,
I'm not
okay.
entirely convinced that we can't fudge flying reindeer. Like, let's put America's scientists on it. But I do think that there's two facets to this. So the first is, yes, exactly. We give the illusion and get as close to the original myth as possible.
I do find it interesting that little Kyle was so traumatized that, you know, we had a lovely woman, Allie Healy, come on the pod last season and say that she thought that we should abolish Santa and stop lying to our kids. And I like, because mm-hmm. that's how her trauma manifested.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm fascinated that your trauma has manifested that, no, we should just double down. Like, you think your trauma would have been lessened if they had just doubled down and
Absolutely.
Been like, fine, we'll just make it real.
Absolutely. Here's how I imagine it going. I mean, first of all, I think that that's exactly it. That if you can, if you can say, no, we weren't lying, almost everything we were saying was true, I think that it would greatly ease that transition into adulthood that kids face when they're kind of wrapping their heads around this tradition. But second, I think that there is some fun to be had with the actual execution of it in a way
okay.
that, like, I think it could be really interesting and actually maybe even better than the real, like, the real Santa story right now. So here's what I think should happen. Here's let me lay it out for you.
Okay, before I tell you why you're wrong,
yes, please.
All.
Before I want to give you, I want to give you the full scope of it, and I can show you why this is like a brilliant idea.
Great.
Okay. So the first thing is that I think that Santa should personally visit the homes of 3 to 5 children each Christmas Eve. Everyone who opts into the Santa program gets a present from Santa, but those come through the mail. They're delivered by like government bureaucracy, and those are kind of placed under the tree by parents. But for 3 to 5 children, in the course of one night, our Santa does go to their house in the middle of the night. They do enter the house, not through the front door, so through some sort of window or possibly a chimney if the house
sure.
is set up for that. But the idea is that the child, and this is with the parents' consent, obviously, the child should awaken to the sound of the intrusion and have that kind of special Santa moment that we've kind
terrifying.
Of seen. In like the Polar Express.
Sleepy Joe Biden, who we've encouraged to.
Now, Sleepy Joe Biden has been
to
encouraged.
Run for Santa.
We've gotten rid of him.
Crawl through someone's window.
Yes. With the help of a ladder, probably at his age. But the idea is that he rolls into someone's house. The tinkling of his footsteps awaken a child. The child comes downstairs. And it's like, you know, Polar Express or like a Coca-Cola commercial or something. They are given a special present specifically tailored to them. And then, you know, Joe has like a cookie and leaves. And then he kind of goes to the next kid. But those kids are then encouraged to kind of go to various media outlets and kind of tell their story to the world of like, when I really met Santa. And that becomes like a special little club of kids. Like, and it's a great opportunity to kind of build the myth even more. Like, so it's not only I know Santa will give me a gift, but maybe Santa will actually come through my chimney or my window. It could happen. It's happened. It happened to that kid in Ohio last year. I live two cities over. It could happen to me.
So it's kind of like gambling. It's a little exciting. Lottery. Okay.
It's a little exciting. And again, for everyone else, the presents are delivered through the mail.
So other people still get gifts.
Oh, everyone gets gifts.
My other question for you is, who's everyone? Is this an exclusively Christian thing?
Okay. Santa is, let's just nip this in the bud right now. This is dicey. Okay, Taylor,
it's
I see what you're doing.
I have to.
We have to establish Santa's pan-faith. We take the pagan approach. He's more Kris Kringle. He's more head elf, okay? He's not a religious figure.
Got also, it. So everyone can opt in.
Anyone can opt in. Anyone can opt out. The point is that the idea is to create a government system. Like, there's probably a cabinet minister of Santa who basically is like, for every child who signs up for this,
the Ministry of Christmas Magic
is going to give every one of these kids a gift. And it should be nourishing in some way, you know, like art supplies or like a book or something good. This is like a positive experience.
Oh,
tailored to the kid's age.
This sucks.
No, it doesn't suck because here's the point.
It does suck because when you think of Santa, you want Santa to bring you a Nerf gun, not something nourishing.
Yes, you want, I get it. But here's the thing. We can even go back to the idea of like Santa giving like oranges, like stuffed with cloves. Like the point is, it's not about the gift. It's about the kid knowing that there's some person living at the North Pole who cares about them and will give them a gift.
He does have to live at the North Pole. Oh, he has the rule.
Okay. So let's jump. We can jump into the rules really quickly before we kind of dig in even more. The first is that they have to live at the North Pole. 100%. We are building a house at the North Pole. And that person
and
will
workshop,
have to live there.
Ideally.
And a workshop. And it is. Okay. So let's just quickly. Elves.
Yeah. Where are we on elves? Okay. It's got to be said.
Okay, here's my thinking on elves.
Okay, great.
Elves are newly graduated college students. And we established the elf program almost like a Peace Corps or a Teach for America. Okay.
I feel like it's a little elitist already that they have to be college students, but...
Oh, they don't have to be college students, but I think, let's just be honest, I don't want to get elitist or snobby, but the truth is this is going to be a high prestige job. Okay. This is going to be like to get into the Santa's workshop. I mean, can you imagine the applications that you're going to receive? First of all, the kids get a 6-month trip to the Arctic, the North Pole, which is like an unbelievable adventure.
Sure.
Okay. Second, I mean, this is going to look amazing on resumes going forward.
Why?
This is
like, because what are you doing? Because you're building.
You are doing the most selfless act, which is to create Christmas spirit or holiday spirit and deliver gifts to children. Now, I don't think you're actually doing much up there.
It's an Amazon warehouse.
It's mostly like, it is a little bit of an Amazon warehouse. It is a little bit of that. But consider this, Taylor. It's also 6 months of perpetual darkness with young people. I kind of think it might also be like an Olympic Village kind of vibe.
It's a reality TV show.
Like, I think a reality TV, I'm thinking like maybe a little hookup culture. It's a fun
100%.
Job. This is a fun job.
We are single-handedly bringing STDs to the North Pole.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yes. I think that might happen, but I think that that's okay because I think like, again, we're offsetting that with like incredible amounts of holiday cheer. And again, I do think it'll be highly prestigious. It'll be very exciting.
Sure.
I do think so.
Like
again,
the White House until we hear that Santa is fucking one of the elves.
Oh God. Oh, yeah.
There's just a lot of PR.
I do have a rule for that. I do have a rule for that, which is that Santa must be paired with a Mr. or Mrs. Claus. And again, let's just talk about Santa can be any gender.
Fantastic. I love this.
Okay.
Santa can be any gender. Casting Santa.
Yeah, but I do think that you bring up a good point. how do we stop some bad malfeasance between Santa and the elves? That is a power disparity. Mm-hmm. We don't want that. I think we need to have we need to pair Santa up with a spouse or a loved one or a close friend.
So if Santa's not already partnered, Santa is also getting set up in this scenario. Another great reason for an older person, retiree.
Well, I think it's kind of fun to run for Santa. I think it's a little bit of like a golden age romance. It's like, it's kind of like exciting.
Sure.
But would
you have to run for Mrs. Claus then?
I think that they are selected by Santa.
Great.
To be the partner. And I think it's important. I know that it's a little archaic to have some just person. And Mrs. Claus is like, it's a little dicey, the role of just this woman sitting in a workshop doing nothing. But I do think it's kind of good to show that, like, you know, Santa is not perfect. Okay. He puts his job ahead of this woman year after year for eternity. Right?
So she's like, instead of changing it, we're doubling down on that.
We have to double down on it. We have to show that Santa is not perfect. Okay. We have to show that there's like, that it's important that there's someone in Santa's life giving him the gift of like the emotional labor of being like his support as he kind of lives in darkness. So I do think that that's important. I do think that to your point about the North Pole becoming sort of a new White House, I think that Santa, when you become Santa, you are no longer allowed to make public statements or talk on television or communicate with the outside world in a mass media way. You become a mysterious figure where you are pictured, you're photographed, there's video of you again climbing into those windows, but you're not given the opportunity to basically be like, you know, and build the wall or something. There's none of that.
The biggest obstacle that you see to this is chimneys, I've realized. And that is
chimneys are a problem. chimneys are a problem, let's be honest. But I mean, again, we can maybe we could put the kid, like the specially selected kids, in like rented houses that have like some sort of like rigged chimney system.
Sure,
maybe.
Maybe. So we're producing this.
But to me, that's like something we figure out like 5 or 10 years down the road.
Great. After the investment,
we've set up everything. I mean, another question I had, does Santa fly, right?
Of course.
I mean, I'm not sure. You know,
where are his,
I think,
reindeer? Is it time for us to like get the Concorde back and like do it this way? Or like, where are we on Santa's flight?
I think private jet is interesting. I think helicopter.
Are we landing on roofs? What about reindeer? Where does Rudolph play a role in this?
Well, I think, you know, just talking about it, I'm kind of charmed by the idea of a return to like the humble sled, you know, like,
yeah, absolutely.
In you know, northernmost Norway, or I did not do a lot of research onto the history of Santa, but wherever Santa comes from, he presumably went around in a sled, you know, powered by reindeer or dogs or whatever. And I think that if we return to that, that might be interesting. You know, but again, to get around as much as I imagine, to hit those 3 to 5 kids, I think probably we're talking about some sort of private jet situation.
Sure.
Mixed with a little pageantry, like definitely reindeer outside, not on the roof, probably. Mm-hmm. We don't want to like euthanize any reindeer who like can't right. be extracted.
I was gonna say, this is a PETA nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we want very humanely treated animals.
Sure. And perhaps if the reindeer can't travel, say it's somebody in, you know, deep desert. Kidding. We don't want to bring the reindeers there. Then what?
Oh gosh. Yeah.
You said it's all around
the world, right? That's a blind spot on me. I did not think about warmer climates. I do. I think that then we're probably substituting like a deer or something dressed up as a reindeer. I think people misconstrue them all the time. I think
it's
that we
camels.
Can kind of,
yeah,
it
sure.
is, yeah, we can do whatever we want. I think we just kind of dress it up in the right way, put a little red nose on, humanely, of course.
So we are still, it's like, it's almost like an elaborate mall Santa. Like we're still doing the lie-ish.
I think so. But again, the amount of effort, I think to be able to say to a child, does Santa live in the North Pole? Yes, 100%. Did Santa give me this gift? Yes, Santa gave me this gift. Are there elves? Yes, there are elves. You know, I don't think a kid is saying, are they recent college graduates who are doing this for
sure,
resume building?
Sure.
I don't think that that's like a follow-up question.
The elves go on to bigger and better things after this.
Exactly. Sure. No. I don't think we're getting into that. But I think if we can answer enough questions right, then I think that we're really clearing a bar that kind of brings more majesty into our world.
This is fantastic.
So that's the layout. Why not? Why not is the question.
Okay. Why not? It is a good question. And we will have to revisit one of your earlier points about taking the pagan approach, because my biggest why not that I could think of was the fear that Santa is so deeply tied with Christianity. I worry if we make Santa real, it's going to become a whole, we're basically going to start like religious riots of who gets to participate. Like then there's going to be like Jewish kids everywhere being like, oh my God, Santa is real. And we still don't get to be a part of this. Like, I think it opens a can of worms for other faiths. You're saying we live in a world where no one is a religious extremist, is what you're saying right now.
I think that by corporatizing and creating almost a commercialism of Santa himself or herself, that by actually making it a human, maybe we strip it of even more of that religious iconography. It becomes more of like a mascot. Like there's like in Quebec, there's this terrifying kind of Christmas figure called Bonhomme de Neige. And he's like, it's like a scream mask.
What is Bonhomme de Neige? Good man of snow?
It's like good man of the snow, I think. Yeah. And basically, it's like, imagine a scream mask on top of a snowman. That's what Bonhomme de Neige looks like. And it means nothing. It's just like a symbol. It's just like a guy. It's a mascot. And I think that there's a way, I mean, at least in my experience of Santa, I think there's a way to think of Santa as almost just like a benign fairy.
Totally like, secular, bro. I think he's like the tooth fairy. Everyone can participate.
I think we have to think of him as a tooth fairy. And I think that you're right. I mean, we cannot let people co-opt Santa, okay? That's not cool. Taylor, I'm just here to make sure that some person lives up in the North Pole and gives people
Christmas
books.
Christmas spirit.
That's all I'm here for.
I'm here for the Christmas spirit.
I get the point. I think it's really important to get ahead of that, to really make sure that this guy is basically considered almost like a tooth fairy, and to really make sure that that we're limiting any ability of someone to co-opt Santa. Santa's
right.
For everyone.
I think that this is you genuinely believing that that's a possibility is the most naive thing I've ever heard. I appreciate it. I respect it. But I think you need to concede that we live in the most psychotic society, especially currently.
Well, hold on, Taylor. Remember, we're taking all those psychos. And we're letting them run for Santa. So they're gone.
This is even worse. Your idea is that only the psychos that we fear are going to run for president become Santa. But what we're still allowing them to do is become icons and then crawl in through children's windows with self-appointed Mrs. Claus and a room full of young college graduate-aged children. And where they will live... They will live in the North Pole with no cameras, no phone, and nothing but access to 20-somethings.
I mean, it sounds pretty good. sounds fine. Here's the thing. Again, we are a lot of these people. You're talking about bad actors. Let's talk about bad actors and Santa, okay? People who have like evil in their heart and who are going to see Santa as an opportunity. This is why we must have the onerous rules of live at the North Pole for 5 years. No social media, no public statements. It's almost like, I actually think you kind of want to trick a bad person, not a bad person. We want Santa to be good, but I think it's a way to really curb the edges off of someone because all they are is just basically a silent figurehead. And here's another thing. I do think Santa should be elected by children. And I think that
I think
children could have a different spin on what you're imagining. I don't think kids are going in for the dogmatic Santa.
Okay, so instead of like 18 and up, it's 18 and under.
Oh, it's definitely 18 and under voting.
Okay.
Oh, 100%.
Interesting.
And again, I think that this creates a civic tradition. Maybe
when
we get more young people
for
voting.
Santa, is it popular vote? How are we doing this?
Oh, no, it's an electoral college. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's right. So there can be gerrymandering. We are team.
I think we're going to necessarily deal with some jury rigging. Like, I think like it is going to there's going to be some bad stuff happening. We just have to accept that that's part of the political process of America.
Sure. Teach kids young that this is what it looks like. Interesting that we're going with the democracy, considering Santa is, you know, it is a world thing. We're not just going to elect someone like we could in other places. So we could be... it's just interesting. Do we really want to be teaching the world that
you want a totalitarian Santa? Well, I'm glad this is not your idea, Taylor, because the way that you're setting this up is dark. It's very dark. Trump as a lifelong Santa dictator, it's not right. It's not how I would do it.
Here's what I'm thinking. I am believing that if we are to have someone that we don't want to be a political figure so badly that we're willing to have them run to send them to the North Pole, that what's going to happen by default is that instead of like making people be like, yes, it's real, it's going to make me be like, no, kids, Santa's not real. And it's going to destroy Christmas completely, because I'm then just going to be like, nope. In fact, we are converting and we are actually completely disassociating with anything that has to do with this, and you may be the actual Grinch who ruined Christmas. Kyle,
I can see that point. That's a really good idea, actually. I think it's more likely that Dolly Parton is Santa before some politician is, right?
Okay, then that takes away. Okay, so then we're making an amendment. I support this amendment that it's not necessarily just people that we fear running our country.
Oh no, certainly not. I think that we're going to get some. I think that you're going to have Joe. I think like it's a good way to basically Joe Biden seems like a Santa Claus. I think he would be a good Santa. And I think that it might be better if he were running for Santa in 2 years instead of maybe for president. I think that could maybe be a good thing.
What is stopping the reverse of having someone running for Santa, becoming famous for being Santa, and then having our first Santa become president by default? Because a group of 18, you know, he won over an entire generation who now is going to give him the nostalgia vote when they're old enough to vote for him for president.
Well, first of all, I think we're talking age-wise. Dunzo. Not a problem. A problem.
So there is an age limit to be Santa.
Let's throw another rule on. I think that this could help you help that problem. Santa must wear the costume in public anytime they're in public for the rest of their life. So although they can return to the continental, you know, world, they must wear the costume. I don't think anyone can be taken seriously in business or public life.
I think that only makes him more likely to be elected, because then you can't be like, kids, he's not really Santa. It was Dolly Parton. Let me show you some of Dolly's old stuff. You're like, no, Santa has never taken off their clothing.
No, you're right. Okay. Okay, new rule, because I think, again, we're workshopping
it. Santa's first workshop.
Okay, I like this. You're right, honestly. I think if DeSantis wore a Santa costume, I might be like, but is he okay? I mean, he's Santa. Like, I think you're right. So, I think here's the thing. If you win the election for Santa, that's it. No more elections. You are basically, you've limited yourself out of every
global.
You cannot run for the Prime Minister of Great Britain. You cannot run for comptroller. You are not going to be regional councillor of Saskatoon. Ain't going to happen. Nothing. Okay, but that brings up another point. You mentioned the international thing. Mm-hmm. Should we have like a rotating, almost like a Eurovision, is it like a UN president thing where it's like 5 years with an American or North American Santa, but now we got to go to Europe and then we got to go to Asia. Like, we have to bounce around.
Sure. You know, I thought you were going to say there would be like a board of Santas. So like every jurisdiction has their own Santa.
Oh, no.
Speaks their language,
Again, the language is not an issue. There's no language. This is a silent Santa, right? Completely, almost like a mime, really, when you think about it.
A silent Santa coming through windows.
Well, I think that when for those particular kids, like if Biden is going into like the Netherlands and he's going to a special child's home, and he's been given enough, you know, he's been given enough rudimentary Dutch where he could have a kind of a passable conversation with like a 5 year old.
Because again, he's only talking. Resume he's, is open to learning Dutch.
I think you have to be. I think you, and again, you're only talking to like a 4 year old or a 5 year old. You don't have to speak eloquently. You just have to be able to say like, hello, I am Santa. Here's your present. Merry Christmas. In five languages, let's say.
Go back to sleep. Yes.
Go back to sleep. You know, Merry Christmas. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that actually might help because it'll be very like strange for the child. Like Santa did not talk to me. He only repeated Merry Christmas, go back to sleep over and over again.
And actually his grammar was atrocious.
And it was very bad. He sounded terrible.
Unwell. We were worried about very Santa. Unwell. He didn't get my vote. What's also stopping, if your Santa votes, what's stopping the not my Santa Claus riots? or Santa suddenly,
I don't think,
the great
all,
Santa assassination due to an angry mob of 12-year-olds who are now upset that their Santa lost, somebody else's Santa won.
Okay, first of all, I don't think kids have the capacity to riot the way that you're imagining children rioting in the streets.
I think you're underestimating
you're underestimating our nation's children.
Yeah.
I they have to be driven to a rally.
I think you're a little Canadian. I think you're being a little Canadian about this.
Okay, so you think the parents of a child will say, we're driving down to the mall where
yes,
you will get,
guess what?
Well, you
those
were engaged in a riot.
parents are the religious extremists who are already upset that this is happening to begin with. And so they're saying, yes, get in there.
God.
Guys.
Well, I think they have no recourse because they're not protesting to any specific government. They're protesting to the North Pole. Like they're basically protesting to the North Star. There's nothing there. Okay. Now you bring up assassination. I mean, not a pleasant topic.
No,
it's possible. I think that brings up a Santa Claus the movie situation. I think that it could be an interesting story arc to have someone have to
that whoever kills Santa becomes Santa.
Is that part of that movie?
Yes, he kills Santa and he becomes Santa. That is the point of that movie.
Okay, just to dig in, let's take a quick side tour. I thought it was that whoever discovered the body. is it killed or discovered the body?
Either way.
Because as a child,
you have the whole defense of going to jail arguing I didn't kill, or going to court arguing I didn't kill Santa, I discovered the body. So instead of jail time, I deserve 5 years in the North Pole surrounded by 20-somethings.
Can you imagine if you went on trial and it was like, you've been accused of killing Santa, and remember, you have that, if you're in that movie, you are now 400 pounds and you've got an 8-foot-long white beard magically. That is going to screw you up so bad.
You're going to jail
in your defense.
Instantly.
Like, you're immediately going to jail.
There's no chance you're not going to jail. Yeah.
Okay, see, when I was a kid, I always kind of, I didn't know it was about murdering Santa. I thought that you just could discover the body. I kind of fantasized
about
it.
That's even, you just...
I thought it would be kind of fun.
Wait, you fantasized about finding the dead body of Santa?
Well, but remember, he immediately evaporates if memory serves. You're not like staring at a dead body for like minutes on end. I think you catch a glimpse of like
It's like driving
a crumpled
by a car
body.
Accident.
Yeah,
car accident.
Yes, you catch a glimpse.
You're not
it's a little strange. But then remember, all the trauma that you experience in that moment is immediately erased by the fact that you get to like. You know, go in a flying sled. So I think just as a child, you're like out of your mind. So that's why I thought it could be good.
Okay. Very interesting.
I think you bring up some good points, but I feel like we've kind of worked it out together. Kind of.
Have we?
I think so. I think we've handled the assassination. Okay. We've handled the language barrier stuff.
So he doesn't speak. You cannot kill him. But if you find his dead body unharmed and survive trial with a jury of peers.
That's right. Then you get to assume the role for
so
5 years.
We have to do
for the remainder of the term.
It's also, again, this is an American law.
Now, that's interesting. I guess it depends on where you discovered Santa. In what jurisdiction? I think we say local laws. I think we say local laws apply.
So if you were planning to assassinate Santa, pretend to find the body and assume his position, the best place to do it would be a place
a place with like a progressive incarceration theories.
Exactly.
Like where they believe in rehabilitation, not punishment, you know?
Sure, sure.
And I'm surprised you haven't brought up like how we should pay for this, because I think...
Well, we are getting there. I wanted to get the mechanics first, but I do think obviously payment is a very interesting thing, because it does bring up the point of like, do you feel like spending all of our time and finances making Santa real when we have like 50 years left on this earth anyway is a wise use of our resources.
That's right. Santa, I guess, at the North Pole will be living in like a very temperate climate.
It's going to be like 20 years. Gorgeous.
There will be a massive migration to live with Santa.
Yeah, these jobs are going to be the only way to survive. In fact,
the housing crisis there, because there's only one house in a workshop. It'll be horrible trying to live up there.
Zillow the up there is already, anticipate crashing anyway.
It's going to be insane. Two things. Okay. One, a fighter jet in America costs like, I think I Googled it. It costs like $170 million for one plane. Okay. I think with two planes, that's the whole thing. That's all the setup costs. That's building. That's building the roads. That's making the voting machines. That's sewing cotton. I mean, how much does this really cost? You're building a couple buildings up in the north. You're paying for travel. You're paying for the gifts. But again, I think that those will be donated. I mean,
all the gifts of the world will be donated.
I think, let's put it in this context. Dolly Parton right now, with her imagination library, right, where she gives books to kids for free. She gives a million books a month. We're close to Santa numbers there, and that's with no support.
We're not, but okay.
I think that we are 500 million kids. We can do it. We can
every
do 500. It's not one Christmas every 5 years.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, I'm just confirming, you think we could replicate this every year.
And I think that corporations will get behind it. I think that people will want to be the Christmas gift for 4-year-olds. And I want to be, and we're going to be the Christmas gift for 6-year-olds this year. I think people are going to really go above and beyond.
Because you get a different gift based on your
I think you do. I think we want to be really appropriate to a kid's development level.
No, I think that's great. I think that's way better than everyone getting the same sticker set one through. Also, what's especially if you're like 18. How long do you get presents for?
I think you got to go till 18. I think you have to.
I support it.
I mean, I think it would be weird to stop at like 15 or 16.
I mean, are you getting gift cards at a certain point? Like,
yeah, I think eventually cash? You just start getting like, Amazon gift cards.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be mad. I would be thrilled. I would appreciate my $20 from Santa. I think the one thing we can agree on thus far is that Dolly Parton would make a phenomenal first.
She could set the tone, like Washington, right? Like really kind of setting like this is the way that you do it. And I think that she would be great. I think that she would be amazing.
I don't disagree with that. Okay, but then, so financially speaking, you don't think it's an issue because you think it will almost be like a way of corporate goodwill, which I can't argue that it commercializes Christmas because Christmas is already so commercialized.
Exactly. Let's not get on our high horse here. This is all about the presents.
If the goal is to make money, and I'm a corporation using this as advertising, and I'm monster corporation head, what's stopping me from like giving out like a Barbie purse, but not a Barbie. So it's like everyone gets the purse, but now you have to all.
Get the Barbie. Sneaky.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, I gotta play sneaky. Like,
I think that you're right. I definitely think Mattel is gonna swoop in and kind of pull this kind of ugly shit. It's not right. Okay. And that's why we have, this is where the elves come in. Okay, we've been searching for meaning.
Okay, so
the elves are, okay, you know how like
they're cops.
Kids graduate, hold on. I think that kids graduate college, they're full of kind of, excitement about the world. They haven't been beaten down by cynicism. They're like, they're ready to apply their theories that they've, that they've discovered as young adults to the world. I think that they are the perfect group to say this present is okay and this present isn't. I think that that's the role of the elves. I think we just found it. I think that they are kind of an advisory board.
I would argue that instead of recent college graduates, you might also need children to get to play the elves, which might also...
We can't send kids up there. It's harsh living. Okay. It's hard living. Again, part of the mystique is that it's hard living. Like there's, it has to be wood burning fireplaces. It has to be.
It's like, this is like Alone. Have you watched Alone on Netflix? Fantastic.
I have not.
It's like survivalists. It's fantastic. You send them out alone and they have to figure out how to live. They would make fantastic elves.
I think it has to be, there has to be a rustic survivalist component to it, because I think that part of the allure is that Santa's making a go of it.
So recent Harvard grads looking to bump their resume that yes. also know how to hunt and build fire.
Well, wait, wouldn't it humble them? Isn't that what we need? I think a little bit.
Wouldn't it
put some calluses on their hands? I think chopping wood.
This I could get on board with.
I think it would be, you know, it would be interesting to see what those kids go on to do.
Right. I think that would be
investment banking.
Completely. Until we have our first North Pole suicide and then things, there's blood on your hands.
Okay, that's pretty dark. That's a dark place to put it. I think I'm just going to be honest.
Kyle, if it's not real magic that we're manifesting here, it's just humans with human error, then we have to account for the darkest of human error. I'm sorry for bringing us down.
I'm just going to say it, and I don't want this repeated publicly when this program it becomes real. We got to cover it up. I'm sorry. We got to cover it up. We cannot let it get out. We cannot let that get out.
Hold on. Okay. So you want this edited from the podcast?
No. Keep this part in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Keep this in.
Got it.
But when definitely covering... when this becomes public policy, I'll have to deny.
No.
I'll have to deny it. I just really think
we're going to have... Where does it end? What do we cover up every bad thing that happens in the North Pole?
No. Just, I can see where you're going. And I'm just going to quickly retreat from my position. We should shine a light on it. We need to turn this into a learning opportunity.
I think we need to bring
Phoebe, everyone together.
Phoebe, honey, Santa is real and he has assaulted a young woman.
I think we have to make sure that there is no secrets up at the North Pole. I've completely flipped.
Santa is real. Santa is Dolly Parton. Yes. And Parton's elves are dead.
I hope not multiple. I think that bad things could happen. Again, I think that we'll have full spectrum lights to combat against seasonal depression. I think that we will have cocoa every day. I think that, you know,
Santa's elves with diabetes.
I think that, you know, in moderation, I imagine that Santa has like one cup of cocoa a day as like a pleasurable end to the day. I think that it will be a fun enough adventure. And we're not imprisoning anyone up there, that hopefully everyone comes
Except
back
Santa,
with a really...
It's mandatory 5 years.
Well, that is true. That's what they signed up for. And they signed up there to be kind of like, but the legacy. I mean, my God, you live forever in a way. If your name is, were a Santa. It's like being a king or a queen.
You live forever in a way until you're found dead by allegedly, and then replaced. Covered up. And then it's all covered up.
I walked back the cover up. No cover ups. Okay. if Santa is found frozen in the tundra, we say that is the hard living that this head elf, this wonderful, jolly man or woman, knew. That was the risk they knew they were taking on as they took on this most sacred and prestigious role. And their sacrifice to bring holiday cheer to our lives.
To bring you this Mattel Barbie purse.
That's right.
That you don't even like because your older sister got a $25 Amazon gift card.
That would be tough. It would be tough to compete against like the iTunes gift card. I think, you know what? No gift cards. It's too good. It's too good of a gift. I think the gifts have to be almost like trinkety and ceremonial almost.
So it really is. It does bum me out that it has to be ceremonial because then it just feels like, great, Santa sent me the sticker. Mom and Dad, you better have gotten me the bike.
Well, Taylor, I'll say that sounds like a you problem, not a Santa problem. That sounds like a bad attitude that hopefully Santa's cheer will remedy in your heart. It sounds like you have the wrong idea of holiday spirit.
When you were a kid, you didn't want the stuff.
Oh no, I definitely did. I'm like you.
I
hope that our new generation of Santa kids will not feel that way. and will be better than us. And I hope that they are.
This entire project is relevant on changing human nature, and I'm okay with it. I think if it's just like the magic of Christmas cheer.
But we have to try. We have to try. We can't keep going like this.
We're not trying on anything else, so we should definitely try.
Screw the environment. We have to try on something. And why not Santa? Why not Santa? I don't care. Okay, we're not going to do it on climate change. Okay, we're not going to do it on guns. We're not going to do it on political division. Santa is the only thing we have that we might do. It might work.
It's fantastic. Do you feel like you are really died on this hill in the way that you feel?
I think so, because I've convinced myself so truly. I've convinced myself. I think that this we have like
nothing
blue
surprises bin, me less.
We have blue bin recycling projects. Like this is like a this
recycling,
is a good
you know recycling is all. Like,
oh yeah, I heard that.
Recycling's not real. It's all
okay. But see, that's another thing. We should make recycling real too, like Santa. I think Santa could inspire
recycling to be real,
to bring truth
and
to
not
other
just
public
be another
life.
Illusion where we that's, cover up the reality.
Exactly. In a way, Santa has maybe the illusion of Santa has maybe inspired some bad behavior that we need to change in our world. And I think that we could start with Santa.
I have a couple games for you. The first game being, if we're going to make Santa real, should we make all these other characters real? And I want to know how you feel about it. First and foremost, the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. You know what? I think that there's always something sinister about what the Tooth Fairy is doing. No one can ever claim. Like, what's the motive? I haven't heard a compelling argument.
Isn't it like building, like, I
to
feel like
crush any teeth into, or building castles out of teeth?
Yeah. What were you going to say? They're snorting teeth?
No, I think they crush it into like a powder that makes them live forever or something. I mean, it could get, I don't know.
I've never heard that one, but I love that that's where your brain went.
Oh, gosh. You know what? Yeah. Do it. And let's find a reason. Only if we can find a good reason for the teeth. Can we recycle them in some way? Can we use them? If we can, let's collect them. Let's collect. Because they just sit in, you know, the parents keep the teeth in like a bag
in
their house.
Yeah, which is terrifying.
And then it just sits there for like 70 years until like the kids find it. Tooth Fairy's real. Done.
Okay, great. Perfect. The next one we have, Easter Bunny.
No, because animals can't consent. So that's wrong. It's just immoral. You can't, it would be like, it's like a form of, it's that would be like an evil zoo situation. So no.
You were on board with the reindeer.
Oh yeah. But reindeer are just, remember, they're not being kind of propped up. They're just like pulling a sled for a little bit.
Okay. So you're a little worried that Easter Bunny is sort of becoming like,
I think it would be weird. Yeah.
How do you feel about Groundhog's Day?
Oh gosh. I just don't think we can do it. I would love for a groundhog to be able to affect the weather, but until we can do it, let's not even try. And again, animals can't consent. Animals are, they would be victims. And I would see it and I would be like, this is not right.
Where are we at with Cupid, Valentine's Day?
That's fine, because not a child. Okay. Not a child Cupid. I think like a cherubesque man in a diaper is fine.
And if he shoots you with an arrow, you have to love him?
I think what it could be is some sort of like, you use Cupid as almost like a big gesture of love. Like you can be like, I've got this, you know, okay, you know how people call into the New York Times, you know, right into the New York Times, they're like, here's our love story.
Yeah.
You can petition Cupid to like help you with an engagement or help you with like a big anniversary. And I think that would be cool.
Is this monetized? Like, do we have to pay Cupid?
No. It's done based on merit.
Do we elect Cupid as well?
Hmm. Yes. Okay. I think so. I think we have to.
Interesting. Okay.
I think Cupid has to follow like a specific image. I think
he does. So Santa could be Dolly Parton, but women can't be Cupid.
Well, I think Cupid, again, it's like do women want to be Cupid? Let's start there.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
I think it depends on Cupid's role. And I think that's unfair to say that all women don't want to be Cupid, Kyle.
I think
I do think It sounds like it. I think the look is less important than like the affinity for archery. The Cupid lore is that Cupid shoots people with arrows and then you fall in love. So to me, being good at archery seems like the more important lesson.
Oh, so for you it's about the archery. Well, they're not going to shoot.
It almost feels like it's like the Purge, but romantic.
Okay, wait. Like, okay, I've got a thing.
It's maybe not a deadly arrow, but you're shooting two people. Yeah. And if you get shot with the same person, maybe you don't have to like fall in love, but you have to go on a date. And this
I think that's fun.
It feels a little bit like a lack of consent in a scary way, but I feel like if...
And what if you signed up? What if you signed up to be a potential victim?
Okay, so if you sign up to be a victim of Cupid, it's like, it is like, it's OkCupid, sponsored by OkCupid.
Yes, yes.
And they are having someone go and shoot people.
I think it should be the Olympic. I think it could be the Olympic winner in archery.
Great, because I think that would kind of make that event really interesting.
I think if you win the gold medal in the Olympics for archery, you have the chance to be Cupid. We're going to let you maybe take it, and we go
depending on your history with consent and love, and only if you're a cherubish looking.
You have to be willing to wear a diaper. I think.
And shoot other couples.
I just don't think it'll be very popular. I think it'll be like very, very rarely used, but should exist.
Interesting. Uncle Sam.
No, definitely not. Okay.
Leprechauns.
No, there's something weird. There's something wrong there. I think that leprechauns are evil in a way. Aren't they malevolent hoarders of gold?
I think they're tricksters. Yeah, I think they're tricksters.
I don't think we need more trickery in the world, and I reject them.
Okay, so then no more. Good. And so
no more. Not only that, I'm saying get rid of the leprechauns. The ones that exist right now, get rid of them.
We are done.
We don't need them.
Exterminate the leprechauns.
We don't need them anymore.
Okay, so then I have a feeling I'll know the answer to this one. If we're going to make Santa real, does it mean we should also make the Grinch real?
Oh gosh. Oh. Now the I think it could be an interesting storyline.
Sure.
I think to spice it up, what if every 4, 5, 6 years we throw the Grinch in? It's not an every year thing. It's like, but maybe we're talking to kids about like it might be a Grinch year. Might be a Grinch year.
I mean, it is a great way to get your kids to behave if they know Santa's for sure real and coming.
Okay, now you brought up a good point there. Does Santa give coal? Does Santa think kids are naughty? No. Santa thinks all kids are good. All kids are good. There's no coal. Okay.
Interesting. But, so you've completely taken away the parenting aspect of Santa.
Yeah, I think so. How do you make the Grinch real? You'd have to like...
I feel like it would have to be like a worldwide game of mafia where like someone gets picked and we don't know who. And like they get to sneak into someone's house and like...
But are they green? Are they... Like do we dress them up?
I mean, I feel like it's furry, more fun if you dress them up. And then...
The goal
would be that they have to go to a town and rob everyone in the town without causing an alarm. And if they can do it, then in the morning, you know, as is the Grinch, in the morning they give everything back and their heart grows 3 sizes in a ceremonious way. So
it's
not like a total thing, but I think it could just be kind of fun to get like made the Grinch, and then it gets to be your turn to be mafia in the game.
I think it would be really fun to come downstairs on Christmas morning and to realize you've been cleaned out. And instead of being like, we were robbed, you're like, oh my God, our town is the Grinch town.
Exactly. Our town is the Grinch town. Exactly.
And then you would go to the public square. And there'd be a huge party.
All of your presents.
Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
You got Grinched. All of this is corporate sponsorship.
Yeah. 100%. Bud Light presents the Grinch.
I mean, all right. I think we're starting a new tradition.
That's fun. I love that addition to the Santa.
Fantastic. Yes. Thank you so much. It will be on my application for Elf. moving forward.
That's right.
I have one more game for you. And that game is called Would You Do It? And in this scenario, I'm going to argue that what if the only way to make Santa real for everyone and like any version of it, even like if you could make Santa magical or real, the only way that you could do that is if you disposed of another iconic person each year.
Wait, so, every year?
Every year. Someone has to be executed for Santa's magic to fuel Santa's magic.
Why are we doing that?
I'm asking you. You can say no, but I'm saying you said that you think that it is pertinent to do this and make this real for society. Okay. So if me and sacrificing one of these iconic people.
Okay, actually, but like, you're taking it a step further, and I dig this. You're saying this would be real magic.
Yes, I'm saying that if in the scenario.
Okay,
in this
human
scenario,
sacrifice.
In this scenario, you could make real live Santa, not Dolly Parton, not Sleepy Joe coming through windows. This is the Santa that you've been telling Phoebe about, the Santa that we've all dreamed about, who is this magical, mystical creature who lives in the North Pole and has a workshop and comes to all of our houses. But in order to make him real, you have to sacrifice one iconic person each year.
Hit me. Let's do that. Let's roll.
In order to make Santa real, would you assassinate Tom Hanks?
Oh my gosh. No. I don't think
so. It's not worth it.
I think that would be too traumatic. He's almost too well known. It would be very devastating.
Okay, no. he's too well known.
But hey, let's see who the next one is on the list.
I mean, The Rock.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's okay.
Okay.
I think that The Rock he seems like a good guy, and I think that there might be something about him that says yes.
He'd take one at a certain age.
He might.
You think he'd be a consensual assassination?
I think it might. And I'm willing to ask him.
I'm willing to ring him up for the sake of Christmas magic.
The Rock. I mean, this is hard. I mean, this is really hard.
Just think about how much joy you could be bringing people. And if it is, like you're saying, non-secular, and they could be bringing actual gifts to impoverished nations.
Okay, you're right. I think we got to let Tom go, too. Maybe.
Okay, then what do we do with Julie Andrews?
Oh, that's okay. I think we've done it. We've gotten the full arc. I think, you know what? This is a really interesting way to kind of pass through the veil, to be like, I'm giving my spirit. Maybe I'm giving up one or two.
It's what Betty White deserved. She deserved to go through the veil of Christmas magic.
Maybe you give up a year, but with that year, you spread unimaginable joy. So I think that, Julie Andrews, I think that's okay. I feel good about it, and I think that she would too.
Interesting. Taylor Swift.
No, I think she's too young. It's too far. Now I've got a new logic system in place.
Okay, so your new logic system needs to be their final years of life.
We can't off 32-year-olds. It'd be like absolutely insane.
Okay, so Beyonce, you're not...
No, definitely not.
What about Jennifer Aniston? She's like in her 50s.
That's right. This is just going to be like an age game.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Now that I have this new system in place, I think The Rock has more to give. I think The Rock has more blockbusters. We're not killing The Rock. We're definitely doing Julie Andrews.
Okay, well.
Not Taylor Swift, not Beyonce.
Okay, so then if it's...
Jennifer Aniston.
If it's with your age, then what if it was to sacrifice like Nick Kroll? Or like a Try Guy?
Oh, you mean, okay.
So somebody who's not like 100% an icon, but still pretty good. But they don't miss,
still pretty
they
good.
Don't miss the age, they have fans, but they don't meet the age requirement you're talking about.
Can I ask a question? Do people know that their soul has powered Christmas?
Yeah, I think they would absolutely know.
It's not like a hidden assassination, like they disappear.
No. I think literally you would know. You would know it was coming for you. Then you could run.
Oh, that's interesting. Wait, so we say we're coming for you.
I think people know that they're coming for you.
I think that's fine.
Doesn't mean they couldn't be caught.
Then you know what? I would put Nick Kroll on the list, and I would definitely put the Try Guys, whatever, because, hey,
they could
outrun
survive. Because they have the chance of survival.
I think they have the chance of survival. I think that makes it a little bit more interesting. But, and again, I think we can't off people who are so famous that it would like devastate our nation's children.
Okay,
we can't
so
do that.
We only have to off people who are B-list celebrities liked by our parents' age and older.
I think so, yeah. I think that's fine. Yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Well, I think some bad stuff. I mean, is this a new cancel? Is this how we actually make cancel culture real?
But then it's almost like, wait, it's like kids. Louis C.K. fueled Christmas.
I think that then we say a bad man. I think we can say to children.
This is the scariest floor. The scariest holiday.
I think, wouldn't it be interesting if we could, if we could maybe punish someone by doing this?
Sure.
I think that would be more palatable to a lot of people.
Right.
But if I don't know, it's gonna be tough.
Christmas.
This is gonna be,
I mean, Taylor, this is gonna be
a tough sell regardless.
It's death row.
I don't think this is good.
For magic. It's death row for magic. But oh, here's an interesting thing. You could kill someone for the magic and then find out they were innocent years later. Then what?
And then I think that it would probably stop the magic from working. Like we're talking about a system of magic. I think the immorality of it, the black mark of it, it would destroy it.
You did the wrong thing because Santa's not coming. Because
there would be no more Santa. There would be no more Santa anymore.
Oh man! So yeah, I think so.
You have to be really sure. You need to see the very bad DMs that these male celebrities are sending. You need to see them with your own eyes.
Proof that they're eating other people.
And they're gone. Yeah, exactly. And then they're gone.
You're a phenomenal guest. This was an amazing thought experiment. Thank you for diving into it with me. You elect yourself as first in command to play Santa and get this, or head elf and get this under control.
I would never want to be Santa. It's a hard job. And honestly, I respect the men and women who will serve in the future. And I give my thanks to them. And I think we all should, because it's a hard job. And I think it'll be really important though.
And so, I also respect the men and women who die on behalf of Santa's magic in the
future.
The ones who
pass because of the powering some weird Santa magic, crazy scenario, a bleak scenario that you've created.
All right. I'm reading your eulogy. You ready for it?
Yes.
We have gathered here today to celebrate the life of Kyle Mack, who tragically died on the hill of We Should Make Santa Real. Kyle is survived by a number of wonderful projects, including American Auto Season 2, coming out January 24th, 2023. You unfortunately cannot follow Kyle's legacy as he has gone dark from Twitter, but would like to point out that he does support Elon Musk.
Well, hold on.
Sorry,
hold on.
You're dead.
Jumping in on my eulogy.
You're dead.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go on.
He doesn't support Elon Musk. He does. He said it earlier. We have it in recording. But that doesn't mean that we can't raise a glass of white wine with Kyle in his honor and tell him to rest in peace. Thank you very much, Kyle.
Thank you, Taylor. It was really fun.
You're the best. Hey guys, thank you for listening to today's episode of Hills I'd Die On. If you're enjoying the podcast, feel free to rate it on Apple Podcasts and leave a comment letting me know what you liked most. You can also reach out to me on Twitter at @ByTaylorCox. I am always happy to hear thoughts or feelings or compliments or, of course, any hills you guys might be willing to die on yourselves. Thanks again for listening and hope to see you next week.